What does the schedule look like for Congress? When does the fall recess happen?
It should happen by this weekend, and it's all dependent on a few items still in front of us, but at this point it looks like this weekend.
Okay, and that includes the continuing resolution discussion?
Yeah, we'll do the continuing resolution this hopefully by Thursday, and after that we will have a few more kind of closing items we have to do, but generally we should be out by this weekend.
Okay, and so that all looks like it's proceeding without any of last year's issues.
Right. I feel good. The only thing that might cause a problem is there's this debate of do they put in the funding for the rebels in Syria for equipment and weapons, and that may be a little bit controversial. So obviously, I mean, I understand what the president's doing here. I disagree with President Obama. We don't, I don't want combat troops on the ground. I don't want to arm the rebels. But I understand the airstrikes, international airstrikes, are positive in a lot of ways. But we got to be very careful here. But if they put that into the continuing resolution, that then becomes a big debate.
Right, because I remember you saying last week after the president's address that you were opposed to arming the Syrian rebels. Now, if that were to get put in the continuing resolution, what happens there? Do you become part of the effort to take that back out again? Or
yes, I would work to try to separate the vote, and if I'm unable to do that, the odds of me voting against the continuing resolution increase pretty dramatically. I think the issue of arming rebels to the tune of $500 million unpaid for, not knowing if these weapons would end up in, a terrorist's hand, is not acceptable to me and should not be acceptable to Alaskans.
Okay. And on another kind of foreign policy issue that's coming up right now, Russia, and it specifically impacts Alaska. The tension with Russia over Ukraine is continuing, and in the past, we've had to work with Russia quite a bit on things like icebreakers, search and rescue efforts, training, and now there's a little bit of rumbling that Vladimir Putin may start building up on Russia's eastern coast. Where do you see the future of Alaska's relationship with Russia, let alone the United States, and how those interplay with each other?
Yeah, this is a challenge for us because, as you know, Alaska has unique relationships with Russia, and as you just mentioned, from shipping lane development, search and rescue, oil and gas spill response up in the Arctic, scientific research, fisheries. As you know, they've stopped purchasing our fish products from the United States, so all of this we have a lot of relationships with. So as the Ukraine issue continues to escalate, I think we'll have less and less relationship, and it's impacting Alaska, clearly. The first one is the fisheries. They've stopped purchasing Alaska fish, which, of course, we're trying to get that reversed. If we can't get it reversed, then we have to tell Russia they can't sell fish in the United States market because, we can't sell in their market, then they can't sell in our market. We hope to get this resolved. If not, then we've made, and I say we, the delegation together, has said to the administration, and as chair of the Oceans Committee, which covers fisheries, I've made it very clear that they need to stop selling within our markets, and then we'll be happy to sell our fish to what Russia used to sell to in the United States. When it comes to search and rescue, we got to continue this international relationship because there's going to be situations that occur that should not have this tension around it. We got to save people who may run aground or have situations in the Bering Sea. So it's creating a lot of issue. On top of that, it's finally gotten some attention from the U.S. military that Alaska is an important part of their equation when it comes to Russia, and maybe now they'll reexamine their investment they want to make with regards to our port developments, military stationing, and other activities within Alaska. I think it's one of the reasons why we were successful in getting the F-35s on the list for coming to Alaska is because they now see the importance of our role strategically, as we've always known this as Alaskans, but now I think they see it again.
Mm. And that's what I was going to ask next was the F-35s. But on a related topic is Arctic development. And right now, Representative Young is trying to get some legislation through regarding Arctic port development, things like that. Where do you see the potential in a fairly gridlocked Congress on getting things moving as far as Arctic development goes?
it's going to be tough. Part of the whole plan has been, as you know, the committee that I chair covers fisheries, Coast Guard, NOAA, atmosphere, and the Arctic. And one of the things we've done over the last 4 years is bring people more aware of the importance of the Arctic, trying to get people to understand there's actually the Arctic Ocean. A lot of people don't realize the impacts that we have. So we've been very careful in trying to bring people aware. We've sponsored some legislation. I know Don has also in regards to port development. Ours creates a partnership with the state of Alaska to leverage public-private partnerships to build ports within the western part of Alaska and the Arctic, because that is going to be big business for us. Even without the Russian issue, we should be building Arctic ports anyway, Arctic ports and western Alaska ports, because that is good business for us. Long term, the amount of shipping that's going through the Bering Straits will increase dramatically, and people will choose between Russian ports or U.S. ports to get their goods, supplies, refueling, all that, and there's no question we will outweigh them because we have a much higher quality of service delivery than the Russians will have. And to be frank with you, you won't have to pay an extra unknown duty fee in cash. And, you know, ours will be very clear what you have to pay and the fees that go along with it. I think Russia is a much more unstable in that sense. So what Don Young's working on, what we are working on, are very complementary. And I think even though it's a tough, environment right now, I do think after the elections, things will get a little different. I really believe it.
Okay. And to kind of shift a little bit and talk a little bit about the upcoming election and the campaigns, some of the numbers I was looking at today still show the race between yourself and Dan Sullivan is very tight. Almost yep. Every poll I saw still calls it a toss-up.
Yes.
And as we get closer, what is the rest of your campaign looks like? Obviously, you'll be back in the state soon and can get back to the ground game. But I mean, what is your overall plan look like as far as either tightening the gap or pulling back the lead that you had a couple of months ago?
Well, first, you know, the way I look at it, I've always believed that it would tighten up. I've always seen that as coming at the end of the day, because once the Republican primary was done and they finished beating on each other, they would focus in on beating on me. and that's what they've done. I mean, every ad that Dan Sullivan has up right now is attacking me. Even as an ad with his wife claiming that I attacked his military service, which is a blatant lie. It's not true at all. There's no proof of that, but they just say it, and I recognize that it's an attack mode that they're into, and my goal is going to be talk about the issues. This latest ad that I have up talks about the work I did in opposing Obama regarding the Arctic development, making sure we moved forward, opposing Obama, who tried to move our F-16s and made sure those were in the right place, forced the administration to change the way we delivered health care to our veterans. So I'm very focused on talking about the issues. So when I get back, my hope is not only the ground game, which I feel very confident that's moving forward in the right direction, is my hope is that my opponent, and I should say opponents, because Mark Fish, who's a libertarian, and Dan Sullivan are running for this seat, and I'm hopeful that we'll have many debates and forums. Prior to the primary, I offered to do 13 of these that have been scheduled by individual groups, and Dan Sullivan only did one. He canceled two others, and the third one he canceled, he honestly got browbeat by the public that he couldn't. He had to do the one with the fisheries community because, as you know, that's a big one. That's no statewide candidate has ever, an incumbent has never not done that race or that debate. And this is on fisheries, which will be October 1st in Kodiak, broadcast to 300-plus communities. I'm looking forward to it because now we can talk about the issues rather than hiding behind press releases or 30-second ads. So I'm looking forward to find out why it took him so long to decide to talk about the biggest industry in Alaska, why he has not been out there talking about the importance of fisheries for our community. So I'm looking forward to kind of let's get into the issues, let's talk about it, let's have these town hall meetings, let's have these forums. I'll be campaigning hard, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a close race. It always has been, and I feel very confident that we will win and prevail at the end.
Okay. You mentioned some of the recent ad spots that your campaign's running, and both the ones you mentioned all had to do with your stance opposing President Obama on things. And that's right. Been a lever that all of the Republican candidates, even before the primary, were trying to use against you.
Right.
And whether the percentages were, you know, however they came up with those numbers, you and I have talked about that before, but now, I mean, do you see yourself as needing to kind of distance yourself from a president who, at this point in his career, has a lower approval rating than George W. Bush had at this point in his tenure in office?
I think what I've done is what I've done all my 6 years is when I disagree with the president, make it clear. Just like, you know, after his last budget presentation, I went on TV and said, I'm not going to vote for his budget. $1 trillion in new taxes and new revenues that was not necessary. His budget was too big. Or when he, you know, wasn't very supportive of Arctic oil and gas drilling, and I pushed hard to make sure that happened. Or when, like I said, the F-16s. Or when he tried to, his administration tried to raise the rates on parcel post, double them in Alaska. And as you recall, I had to come down pretty hard on the president. Now, there's times when there's issues that are that, you know, we find maybe some common ground, raising the minimum wage, making sure women have pay equity, being pro-choice, making sure that we have a solid immigration bill that moves forward and is comprehensive. But, you know, when it comes to Alaska issues, if the president's wrong, and I've mentioned several here, people are going to hear from me, and the president will too, and I'm going to push back to make it very clear how important Alaska issues are and convince the administration. If I can't convince them, then vote against them. Just like on this latest issue on the rebels, I appreciate what the president's attempting to do, but I can't support him in funding the rebels in Syria when we don't even know who these people are and will these weapons fall into the wrong hands and later we regret it, and who's paying for this? Once again, we're doing an unfunded bill that the taxpayers are going to have to pay.
Okay.
And, you know, I say one more thing, if I can,
sure,
on this one, and that is, you know, the real issue is what, how is it working for Alaska? And when I look at this last year, 80% of the time, Senator Murkowski and I have voted together on every single issue. Doesn't mean we agree all the times. For example, on the Appropriations Committee, she and I disagreed on funding the rebels. I said no, she said yes. When it came to the Farm Bill, I supported the Farm Bill because it included money for safe villages and it made sure traditional foods could be served in federally funded clinics and facilities. She disagreed on that. Doesn't mean we're always going to agree, but at the end of the day, how do I measure my time? I measure my time on, is Senator Murkowski and I working together? We're both from different parties, but we're in the one group that we never forget, and that's what's important to Alaska. Voting 80% of the time with her this year is an incredible statistic. Matter of fact, no other split delegation in the United States Senate, Democrat-Republican split delegation, has a high voting record as we do working together. Doesn't mean we're always going to agree, that's for sure.
Right. So to come back to one thing you talked about, the Sullivan campaign's most recent ad, and I did happen to see that earlier today. As we get further into the campaign, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of network TV, but that changes.
Good for you.
Well, that changes once football season starts. And
okay.
So really, I've, you know, other than seeing them online, this is my first exposure to the full onslaught of the political campaign ads. And, you know, a lot of the ads thus far from both campaigns have been very negative, either Mr. Sullivan trying to attack your record, you going after Mr. Sullivan's record. And, you know, now there's, with this most recent ad, you're saying that what they're saying about his military record simply isn't true, that it's, you know, essentially lying. The Sullivan campaign leveled the same accusation at you over the Jerry Active ad. And so where, going forward, is there going to be a shift in strategy as far as what's going to be in those political ads?
Well, let me first start, because you didn't see the early ads, I had an ad on about what I did to change the delivery of the veterans care health care system, now making sure that veterans get care all around the state. No other state has what we have. I ran an ad specifically on that. I talked about the F-16s and making sure we saved them for Fairbanks and ensure that they were in place, an ad about my accomplishments. We talked about the Arctic oil and gas development, the movement that we had there, an aggressive development that's moving forward in the Arctic. All these ads I had played, and about my record, about things that I have done and worked on. Matter of fact, the latest ad I have has bits and pieces of that mixed in there. But at the same time, I cannot shy away from talking about his record. There's no question to add that Iran was truthful. It talked about his, he okayed these plea bargains, and he also made this deal in the state pension, which cost the state a couple billion dollars. These aren't disputable. What he didn't like, and really he didn't like, was that we mentioned the case, which, of course, we did not. He mentioned the case in his ad, but let's put that all aside because that's a back and forth. The issue in that ad was he had a record under his administration as the AG appointed by Sarah Palin to do plea bargains on people who were violent and did sexual assault. That's a fact. Second, he did settle for a very low amount when it came to our pension fund. Now it's cost the state another couple billion dollars potentially. This latest ad by his wife, there is no data, not one statement. I would challenge any reporter to ask him to show you the statement that I questioned his military service. I've never questioned his military service. I honor people who serve in the military. I honor my father-in-law who passed away, who served as a colonel in the Army, my brother-in-law who served, my uncles who have served. I honor the service, and my record is very clear on that. For more than two decades of the work I've done to honor our servicemen and women, for him to make that claim is totally false, and I would challenge him. I would challenge any reporter to ask him to show you the proof. We're going to continue to talk about my record and what I've done. You'll see mailings coming out talking about the many issues I've worked on, but we will not let my opponent try to define me by putting false accusations and claims out there.
Okay. Well, I have extended an offer to the Sullivan campaign for a similar interview to what we're doing right now. So if they accept, I will ask them.
Ask them that. Ask them, where is the actual verbiage from me, written, verbal, or any other, where I have said it's his military record. I'm attacking that. Here's what they're trying to do, just to make this very clear. He has claimed 16 years or 17 years of Alaska residency continuous, but he also has claimed residency in Maryland, where he got a tax break for his home there as a resident at the same time. And he'll claim to you that it was during his time when he served overseas. That's just not correct. It was when he served in the State Department, our staff would be happy to share that with you, as a political appointee. So he got a special tax break being a resident of Maryland at the same time he claimed residency in Alaska, and now the Maryland tax assessor is investigating him on this fact. It had nothing to do with his service in the military. As I said, we honor that. It has nothing to do with that. But that's how they'll twist it. But I can tell you, there's not one word ever that I've ever attacked him on. It's somewhat like, are you kidding me? It's like, say the biggest, out there, and people will believe it. Well, this one, no one will believe it.
Okay. One more question that deals specifically with the Matsu Borough. And that is funding for a couple of big projects out here. One is the Kinnickarm Crossing, and they're in the process right now of trying to get TIFIA loans for that. And Basically, the state has said at this point, if they don't get them, they can't go forward. So where do you see the prospects for the TIFIA loans? And then, in addition, what's the possibility, because the funding strategy hasn't really been brought out yet, but if Susitna-Wautana seeks federal funds, what do you see the likelihood of that happening?
Well, the challenge, first on the Kinnick Bridge, the challenge there is the state has not put enough of their own capital in, and I mean non-debt capital. I think the TIFIA loan is going to be a struggle because the TIFIA loan is based on how do you pay it back. It's a business decision. And so far, the bridge has not been able to show through their financials, even though the Matsu is growing, we need better transportation out there. The challenge is with their current model, without more free cash, meaning non-debt cash, from the state of Alaska to help build that bridge, I think they're going to have a struggle making it financially work. And I think there's a challenge there. We obviously will do whatever we can to assist them in their endeavor, but it only can work if it's financially feasible because a TIFIA loan is a loan based on a business model, not just a free government loan. So the state of Alaska needs to put up some more, and they haven't done it yet. And I think they need to figure out what their priority is here. In the second question you asked was on the dam, is that?
Correct.
Yeah, that one, you know, that has a lot more work, as you know, to go through its study and, and process. But there again, that one has a long-term value because if it can provide renewable energy resource at a stable pricing, as you know, in Southeast Alaska, where we've had huge value with hydro, as well in some places in South Central, that's a big value for us. So that one we'll, again, be working with them to see if we can make that financially work. Long-term, I think that is a opportunity for us to continue our effort to get on renewable and alternative energy for Alaska's internal use, which, you know, I'm very proud of the fact that by 2025, we may be at 50% renewable energy. That's a great statement for a state like ours to be able to say.
Okay. And so as far as big hydro goes, you would put that in with the renewable?
I would, but, you know, you got to, you know, depends when you say big, you know, big is depends on who defines it big.
Well, this would be the second largest dam in North America.
Right. So that one, I mean, but that is one of those that I do consider renewable, but we have to make sure it meets all the environmental standards and development standards and community impacts at that. That's why there's still a long process ahead of it still. But I'm a believer in hydro. I mean, in Southeast, for example, as they continue to build hydropower down there and connect up through interties, they'll have the most reliable source of energy than any part of the state once they finish that. And I think that's a great statement on creating good basis for economic development and livable communities.
Okay. Well, I believe that covers most of the questions I had.
Excellent.
Yeah, let me take one more look here. Actually,
you got a whole list.
I did have a whole list.
That's great.
I don't know if Devin warned you, but
I'm glad we did it.
Actually, one more that I did overlook, and that's the Denali Commission and the future of the Denali Commission. And I mean, do you see the prospects right now aren't necessarily too optimistic? So where do you see that going in the future?
Well, I do see some of the funding continuing, but the biggest challenge is when Ted Stevens was senator, he had never had the bill authorized. In other words, you just did it through earmarks, which does not create sustainability. So we're working on a bill with the rest of the delegation to create a authorization level that creates a permanency to it. But again, we'll have to probably hit that next year because the timing won't work this year. But we will continue to work to make sure there's some funding there through the Appropriations Committee, but we're never going to be able to move to the high levels of funding until we get the bill reauthorized, and that's what we'll work on as the beginning of the year starts.
Okay. Well, I think that does actually cover my entire list.
All
so
righty.
If you find your way up to the Susitna Valley when you're back in state, you're always welcome to stop in.
I will look forward to it. Thank you very much for the time.
All right. Thank you, Senator Begich.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.